Gavin Gray is the man with the UK report, giving you all the latest happening out there. Gavin, a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us on the show. How's it going there? By the way, is it windy out there?
Yes, it is actually, Abs, and that's one of the stories doing today's rounds. So I think it's estimated now that certainly a couple of hundred flights have been cancelled, and that is because of Storm Kathleen, which is doing the rounds here in the UK. So it's a windy, grey, sweat morning, due to be dry today, but yeah, unseasonally windy for the start of our spring and summer.
I've always wondered, why do we give them female names? Nonetheless, that's a story for another day, Gavin. But let's let's get into it. I mean, because former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said that, you know, it is shameful to call for the UK to end arms sales to Israel. My.
Yes, this has really come to a big public discussion over the last few days since the death of those seven aid workers killed in airstrikes in Gaza on Monday. Three of them were Britons. And that's led to politicians from all sides, really, of the House to reassess how the UK supports Israel. They are wanting the government to change their stance. We've seen a slight shift in stance, haven't we, from Israel's closest ally, America. And people are saying here that the UK really should act more strongly. Now, we do provide arms, sell arms to Israel, but in truth, in comparison to what they get from America, it is a drop in the ocean. But people said it doesn't matter. We should just, as a matter of policy, say we don't want to do it anymore. Indeed, 600 lawyers, including the former Supreme Court justices, have written an open letter saying that weapon exports to Israel must end because the UK risks breaking an international law over a plausible risk of genocide in Gaza. Israel, incidentally, rejects the claims of genocide as wholly unfounded. But there's no doubt a bit of pressure on our government, a bit of pressure on the current prime minister to stop these sales. And then the former prime minister, Boris Johnson, said that would be shameful. And these calls to end arms sales are shameful. He says it would be insane for the UK to end military support. And he said he would be willing the military defeat of Israel and the victory of Hamas if they were to do that. He said that's victory for Hamas, and that is what these legal experts seem to be asking for. So some pretty strong words from Boris Johnson. I think the mood of the nation, though, is definitely one of unrest about the UK's continued support of Israel.
Moving on to France now. I mean, these are stories you think you'd hear in third world countries, but principals are resigning, but also there's school attacks, one resulting in a fatal incident.
Yes, it seems that the schools in France are becoming, according to critics anyway, pretty lawless situations. So this week, a 15-year-old boy named only as Shamseddin died in hospital. The news came after he was beaten by a group of youths just outside his school in the southern Paris suburbs. Apparently, the boy was walking home after a music class at about 4:30 local time when he was set upon by a group of youths. The witnesses said he was punched and kicked. His attackers were wearing balaclavas. He was taken to a hospital, but they were unable to save his life. A 17-year-old has been arrested by French police, and police are still looking for the other assailants. And then earlier last week, in another incident in a southern city of Montpellier, a 14-year-old girl named as Samara was placed in an artificial coma after she was beaten by a group shortly after leaving school. And again, three adolescents, roughly of the same age, have been arrested and admitted taking part in the attack. So what is going on here? Well, it does seem this is a bit of an Islamic backlash in that in the last few years, we've seen a number of incidents in which two teachers have been murdered by Islamist radicals. We've also seen last week the head teacher of a school in Paris resigned, saying he feared for his life. He'd received death threats for telling a girl to remove her head covering in accordance with French law. And there does seem to be this real friction between those of the Muslim faith and the current laws in France, and indeed the current schools trying to enforce them, and what is doable within that situation. But the French President Emmanuel Macron said the schools need to be shielded from uninhibited violence among our teenagers.
And talking about a never-ending war, but it seems the Royal Navy has at least managed to win a battle in the drugs war.
Yes, so good news story for a change, and I'm delighted to bring you some good news this week. The Royal Navy has seized £17 million worth, that's roughly 400 million South African rands worth of drugs, having intercepted smuggling speedboats in the Caribbean. Now, HMS Trent organized this operation. They, along with other Royal Navy vessels and a U.S. Coast Guard team, are really patrolling the waters off the Caribbean in order to try and prevent drugs getting to Europe, getting to the UK, and getting to America. And they apprehended a speedboat immediately following a port visit to the island of Martinique and launched fast sea boats from the main warship HMS Trent, piloted by Royal Marines of 47 Commando to intercept the boat. They detained the crew and discovered a lot of drugs. It seized the drugs operating at the end of 2023 and then a second operation in February this year. And it just goes to show how, I think, coordination between the Royal Navy, U.S. Coast Guard, and indeed the Caribbean authorities could really help stem the tide of the drugs at their source.
And it's brewing again. We've got the Paris Olympics, but according to the French President Emmanuel Macron, Russia is not playing fair here.
No, this is really interesting because Emmanuel Macron has been marking the not long now till the Olympics opens in Paris game. And at the inauguration of the new Olympic swimming pool, reporters asked if he thought Russia was targeting the games. And he didn't hesitate. He said, without a doubt, including in the field of information. He said, and I quote, every day Russia is putting out stories saying that we're unable to do this or unable to do that so that the games are in risk. He said, this nonsense. Well, the French government says Russia has recently stepped up propaganda attacks on France. They are apparently setting up and then using fake accounts on social media to spread rumors and disinformation. And it kind of seems to match with Emmanuel Macron's to a much more hardline policy that he's taking on the Ukraine war. He is no longer refusing to rule out eventually sending French troops on the side of Kyiv. Something other European leaders says, well, we're not doing the same. That's not going to happen, sort of thing. But very interesting that it does appear a network of Russian-created websites named Portal Combat is accused of spreading made-up stories such as claims that French mercenaries are serving in Ukraine, that he, Emmanuel Macron, cancelled a trip to Kyiv because of fears for an assassination attempt, and he also now believes that the Olympics are being targeted by Russian agents as well.
And Gavin, I mean, can we ever put a price on uniting a people? There's talk now of the estimated cost on the United Ireland.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk, actually, Abs, on how United Ireland could be something for that not long a distant future, actually, sometime in the next couple of decades. And of course, at the moment, the island of Ireland is split between the Republic of Ireland, a country within the EU, and the top northeast bit, which is Northern Ireland and is part of the UK. Now, as an academic has done a study on how much it would cost to unite Ireland, how much it would cost the Republic of Ireland to take on Northern Ireland, as has been mooted by many political figures there, who say it is no longer sustainable to have a bit of the UK in Northern Ireland sort of thing. He's discovered an amazing figure that it could cost up to about 400 billion South African rand a year. And that is because trying to integrate it. Now, it could be a lot less, but he says it's going to be at least 7 billion pounds. That's about 160 billion South African rand a year, at the very least. And he says, the author of this report says, that would result in an immediate major reduction in the living standards of people in the Republic of Ireland. Now, some say, well, hang on a minute, the Republic of Ireland would, of course, be part of the EU, and the EU would come and help to bail it out with grants and so forth. But the report says, well, you'd still actually have much less wealth in the South because they'd have to pay for this. However, they did point out one of these report authors also worked on German reunification when East and West Germany unified. And it said even decades later, the cost is still rising and it now stands at trillions of euros. But when you ask people, are they happy with unification? Are they happy to pay for this? 3/4 of Germans say, yes, they are. So a mixed message from this report, but certainly the sheer cost of a unification in Ireland now perhaps seems to kick it slightly into the longer grass.
You are Italian and you find yourself with an overwhelming number of goats. What do you do?
Yes, very interesting. So there is a little island called Alisudi. It's on the Aeolian archipelago north of Sicily. And incidentally, this group of islands is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. They are absolutely beautiful, as are so many of the islands, of course, around and in South Africa itself. So, but these have got a problem in that they have wild goats, and that's all fine because the wild goats normally stayed in the volcanic islands, rugged mountains and cliffs. They very rarely ventured down. But as their population has grown, yes, you guessed it, Abs, they're venturing down into residential areas. And they are big eaters of anything green. So gardens, farmers have been really attacked. Leaves, fruits, vegetables. The goats are very, very destructive if any vegetation is left unattended. They've even knocked down walls and at times even gone into people's homes who have left their door open. Anyway, the mayor's had enough. And he says the population of these goats is now outnumbering the human population of 6 to 1. So he roughly estimates there are 600 goats to the population of 100 on this small island, and he's had enough. And so now he's saying to people, hey, contact me and adopt a goat. Don't leave it here. Take it with you. And he's taking these adopt-a-goats applications. He said there's one farmer on a neighboring island who wants to take several goats because he produces ricotta cheese. And, of course, that relies on goat's milk. And he said, you know, this sort of offer is much appreciated. So I hope you don't mind, Abs. I've put you down for 3.
I could just see myself going from Italy, going through customs. Abs, what are you doing with 3 goats? Hey, it was a holiday. I brought some gifts in. And as this is funny. And as we finish, though, and I tell you what, you know our situation with the post office here in South Africa. Look, for us, it wouldn't be an issue. But apparently in England, it's an issue when a letter arrives 27 years later.
Yes, so I'm afraid our Royal Mail is also in turmoil here with all sorts of struggles to maintain the service and maintain any sort of a business model. But in this instance, a card was delivered to its owner in Hull, that's in the east of England, 27 years after it was posted. The woman who lived in the house was sent, the woman who lived in the house in 1997 was sent the card from her former partner's mother, expressing regret and sympathy that she had split with her son. Now, the 60-year-old was finally given the card after it arrived at the house, but she no longer lived in the house. And so there was a bit of a campaign to try and find out where this woman now lived. They managed to hook up the letter with the previous occupant, and the two have been reunited. The stamp, incidentally, cost 26 pence. That's about 5 South African rand. Suffice to say, I think a first-class stamp is now about 4 to 5 times that amount of money. And the woman said, I really didn't realize it had a 1997 postmark until someone pointed it out and I saw how cheap the stamp was. Anyway, the question is, where has this letter been? And that's the answer is, no one seems to know. The post office says, the Royal Mail says, it's likely someone had put it back into the postal system rather than it having been lost. Not sure about that.
What can you do but laugh about these things sometimes? By the way, Gav, talking about the goats, my wife's birthday is on the 1st of July. I'm thinking maybe you can send 2 more. Kevin Gray.
I can see you milking it, Abs, before you go to work.
That would be something. Gav, thank you so very much for joining us in conversation. Have a lovely day further.